I gotta make a dookie. I still say that to this day.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to the A to Z Horrorcast. This is the Creative Talent Podcast brought to you by us over at AtoZHorror.com. I'm Jack, and sitting across from me is Jake.
And you must be a pretty important fella.
And sitting next to Jake is someone else who's using your body and draping it with the carcass of helpless little field mouse. It's Mark.
Hello.
For those of you unfamiliar with our Cracker Jack operation, we watch and review one horror movie a week, and then we get drunk and argue about it. And this week, we watched 1984's Chud, which was a Mark pick, and we will dive all the way into that real soon, and when we do, fair warning, we're going to spoil the absolute nonsense out of it. And hey, we do have a Patreon going, but we're not where your money should be going right now, so as it has been for a couple months now, all of our Patreon proceeds are going to continue to go to Planned Parenthood, support the bodily autonomy of women and other persons who can get pregnant. So you can head over to patreon.com/ATOZHorror, support the show at your level of choosing, get some perks for your troubles, and know your money's going somewhere better than our dumb asses. But if you just need a little escapism, hopefully you can have some fun in the horror world with us for at least the next little bit, and boys, you know what that means. It's time to do the getting drunk part. So let's score. Let's do beers for fears. Hey, Jake!
Hi, Jack!
What are your beers for these fears?
I don't really appreciate... Actually, I might appreciate going first. I found this movie really hard to bear. I'm just going to say.
Me too.
I'm doing two. It's been a long time since I've done that. The first is actually it's a literal reference to the intro quote that I had about Fella. Nice Fella, which is an unfiltered pilsner from Mountains Walking Brewery up in Bozeman, Montana. So that's this. And then in backup, I got a big sticky because there's a bit of a big sticky situation that they get embroiled into in this movie.
I wanted big sticky.
I didn't love either, but combined, sticky. It's like, eh. It's like D's for degrees when combined.
The big sticky monster also is not entirely dissimilar from the Chuds.
It's true. I think big sticky definitively lives above ground. I would say he probably lives on a vine, but
probably
other than that.
Either way, Jake, I like it. Mark, how about you? What are your beers for these fears?
So I'm on Mercy Street a little bit right now. I've had COVID for the last week. We're recording this on a Friday night. I tested positive last Saturday. I have not been able really to leave my house for that whole week. So I'm going off of things that I already had in my refrigerator. I am drinking a Ninja versus Unicorn double IPA from Pipeworks.
Explain yourself.
This is an old standby.
He did.
He's already
but done I had yeah. vid though.
This is an old standby that I use to drink all the time. It's a very good beer, which is why I'm choosing to drink it. But it's also a covert force, ninjas, fighting an imaginary monster, unicorns. And guys, I'm drinking this in my basement, so I'm subterranean right now.
Yo, that's not a basement.
Underground. A basement. I am underground.
I'm Mark, and I have a basement.
I am Mark,
and I have more than 700 square feet in my house.
Fuck off.
Either way, Mark, pretty good shoehorning. Jake,
thank
I kind of went a similar direction to you.
Cool.
I'm drinking a Dankful IPA from Sierra Nevada here.
How is that the same direction as Jake, who drank a nice
Big Sticky.
Fella?
Big Sticky is dank.
And Big Sticky. Oh, because it's dank. Okay. I get it.
Gotcha. It's dank, as are the Chuds and their whole living place. It's dank down in those sewers, sewers.
It is dank in sewers, you're
subway
right.
Subway tunnels.
Honestly, I think I like yours the most. It's
Dankful.
The sewers are full of dankness.
Exactly.
They're
how could I go wrong?
Dankful. I don't know, dude. It's a hard movie to beer.
It is. It is
it's
a hard
the hardest
movie
to beer we've had in some time. I'm sure if Mark had gone to the store, he would have found some slightly less shoehorny thing, but whatever.
Chud Pilsner.
pissed. Old Chud.
Oh, yeah. I probably would have gotten
he just
old
sharpied
chub.
Off the B of a
yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
I hate that beer, though. So
would have fit in perfectly.
No.
Either way, boys, drinking beers and watching Chud isn't the only thing we've done in the course of the horror world over the last week, and ordinarily we'd tell you about it, but as we record this, it's kind of close to the start of that month being August of 2022, so why don't we hit our listeners, with the Horror Release Roundup, or HRR, over at the website, a-zhorror.com. You can go check out our complete list of horror movies coming out in August that we were able to find, and a little blurb about each of them, and a link to all the trailers, but here on the podcast, we're just going to hit you with the ones we find most interesting. So let's start. Mark, where do you want to start? And start. So do.
Okay, I'm going to start with my dark horse. That was a expertly landed transition. Thank you, Jack. I'm going to start with The Immaculate Room, which is an Emil Hirsch vehicle where he and his wife are trapped in...
The Immaculate Room.
they volunteer to be in an immaculate room for 50 days or something like that. And if they survive the whole time without going crazy, they win $11 billion or whatever. And your usual, like, stupid, goofy, trapped in a room type of hijinks ensues, right? Like, they start to fuck with the timer that's on the wall to slow down time so that they think that they're in there for longer. They don't give them the right amount of food. They bring in an extra hot lady to make it seem like to drive a wedge between he and his wife. Shit like that. And I mean, I think longstanding listeners will know that I'm kind of a sucker for these... like wildly over contrived sci-fi adjacent dumb game type movie. I don't know.
They're like such, it's like situational not sci-fi. It's like situational horror, but in a very specific setting. It's kind of like The Platform in a certain regard.
Yeah, yeah. There has to be it's all like game horror. Like there has to be rules and you have to like be able to win a game at some point. Right, like
the setting is so important too, though. Like that isolated setting of some sort. Like it really does remind me of The Platform.
Yeah, I think and you can win The Platform by surviving and
you get out
of
jail.
Yeah. I mean, but he signed up to go, the main character did.
Yeah, so. I think he wins by writing a piece of exploit of journalism, right? Something
I don't
like that.
I don't remember. It was like to get to not have to go to college actually or something. I don't know what it was. It was something stupid.
We're not talking about The Platform, which is a movie that probably everybody
should watch.
I'll talk
about that
again. Instead, we're talking about The Immaculate Room, which may or may not be a movie that everybody should watch. We don't know yet. It's a dark horse.
It has Emile Hirsch in it. Like, The Floor, I don't know. I haven't seen him in a bit. I actually really like him. In a situation like this, in this style movie, I think he's going to do a great job. His energy plays to this.
He will never not be Alexander Supertramp / Christopher McCandless.
That's how I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking, though. Like, what he did in Into the Wild is very applicable to this setting as well in a weird way.
And he's good. Well, and he clearly is pretty strong performance in Autopsy of Jane Doe, so he can do horror as well.
Totally.
So.
I mean, he's a good actor. Whatever.
Sorry, Jack, you were saying, I interrupted you.
Oh, the most important part of this trailer is the floral shirt he's wearing throughout most of this. I bought that exact shirt at Ross Dress for Less a few weeks ago, and I was so excited, I woke my wife up at 1:30 in the morning when I was writing my write-up of it, and she is still very mad at me about it.
So are you going to wear it and watch it? Is that now going
to
be a thing?
I think I have to now.
Like, mascot the hell out of it or something?
Yeah. Anyway, I just got very excited by that. I couldn't focus on most of the trailer.
Do you regularly find yourself going to Ross?
I like the Ross Dress for Less for, like, floral shirts around here. And headphones. Because they have, like, headphones that aren't in-ear with the rubber bit headphones. I hate those.
Yeah, they
And they're
suck.
Super cheap, and I'm rough on headphones, so I'll buy, like, 10 pairs at a time for $2 each.
Makes sense. I don't think I've been inside a Ross in, like, 20 years.
Oh. Well, it's something. It's
I gotta come to Hawaii. I gotta come to Hawaii, as I guess. I'm gonna fly in. We're gonna go to Ross, and that's it. Come back, sleep, fly home.
Well, Mark, you're in luck because there are no fewer than 3 Ross Dress for Lesses within 1 mile of my condo.
There's no way that's real.
Yeah, wait, really?
It's absolutely real. Why? There's one that is half a mile down Keiamoku. There's one that's a mile down King Street, and there's one that's half a mile down Baratania.
I need you to dig into why there's so many. That's like a weird mattress.
We love Ross
sort of
Dress for Less here, man.
Is this a money laundering type of scenario?
It has to be.
I don't know. I think everything's just so fucking expensive here.
So it actually is cost effective. It's not. It's only cost effective if there's one within like 30 feet of your house. Otherwise, if you're driving more than 2 blocks to get to a Ross,
so Ross Dress for Less becomes Ross Dress for Normal in Hawaii. That's a dad joke. That's a fucking dad joke. Mark, why didn't you take that? What the hell? You left me hanging back there.
I don't know, man. Your instincts are starting to kick in.
Fuck.
Either way, Mark, I like the pick. It does look very good. I went a different direction. I picked Fall as my dark horse pick.
What
this is the
Fall?
One.
I do not recall this.
This is what by the same team that made 47 Meters Down.
Hell
yeah.
What about Falling?
And they've done all the going down they could, so now they're going up.
Now
this is about 2 young women who climb a giant radio antenna, and then all the ladders fall off of it, and they're stuck on top of the radio. It's 47 meters up, essentially.
It's way more than 47 meters.
Yeah, way more than 47 meters.
2,000 feet.
The funny thing is they could have made it 47 meters, and it still would have been daunting.
Yeah,
they still
but no, they're
in,
up there at the top of
it.
Look, I know this team can craft a competently made movie. 47 Meters Down is pretty good.
Sharks, though.
And I like the idea of going up. I think that's fun. The acting looks pretty good. And they drive a Bronco in it.
The concept of going upwards is intriguing to me.
It is.
Just wait until their third thing where they go 47 meters.
It's not going
to
be unbelievable, but it is going to be solid and fun and good to toss on at one point.
One thing I do appreciate about it is they seem to be able to distinguish or at least point out that there is there's a distinction between the fear of heights and the fear of man-made heights. Like, that's a real thing. I know people that are, like, not scared, and myself to a certain degree, like, inclusive, not scared of, like, you can walk up to a ledge, like, in nature and be like, okay, like, this is a cliff. But if I'm in some sort of a human-made situation, I fucking hate it. And I know people that are really like that. So, I don't know. That could play well.
I mean, it's kind of like the distinction between there's a different phobia for like thalassophobia, fear of stuff underwater, and then fear of like sunken ships,
sure,
and man-made stuff under
that's
sea.
I have that
phobia.
I think to clarify specifically, thalassophobia is just the fear of open water. Like, it's specifically the fear of nothingness underneath you.
Okay,
yeah, I have the fear of the stuff underneath you.
I'm specifically afraid of things down there.
Yeah, I don't care if it's nothing. I'm already living in the void.
I completely agree with you on this one. I'm really stumbling. It's the COVID brain kicking in. I love that there's this like horror arms race to just set the exact same movie in the dumbest possible, like, survival horror in every possible permutation of risky situation. I mean, like, 2 months ago we had a floating hotel room that was being assaulted by a shark, and now we're here.
I still gotta watch that.
Later in this month there's another one about a fucking haunted skydiving formation. It's amazing. We're truly living in the best
like
timeline.
Let's just go ahead
are
and
we
call
gonna
that
talk about
right
that movie
now.
Motherfucker,
we fucking better. Hex looks so amazing.
It does not.
It doesn't, Mark. A literal haunted or cursed skydiving formation is one of the more bonkers things I respect.
Yeah!
You know what? Put some respect on its name, because my God, what
but
a
this
fucking
is what you
concept.
Cannot watch unless you are absolutely obliterated.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, 100. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And just, listener, in case you think you might have misheard us, no, the skydiving formation
itself
is haunted.
Yeah, like, they do it, and then they become haunted because they did it.
Because they made
a
hexagon.
It's a curse. 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 It's a curse.
That movie's Hex. Your movie was Fall. Jake, what is your movie?
Oh, my movie's Pussy Cake. Sorry to break this monosyllabic title.
Yeah, how dare you?
Which one's this one?
This is the one with the female, I think, punk band. This is in Spanish. It's a zombie movie of sorts, but
more. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This comes out right at the end of the month, and a lot of practical going on here, a lot of bonkers stuff going on here, and a lot of fun, I think, is going to be going on here. But I don't really know which direction to take it. I mean, it's a female band in, I don't know, some Spanish-speaking country, and they run into a zombie apocalypse plus, I'm going to go ahead and say, and I'm not going to describe really what the plus is. Just watch the trailer or the movie, frankly. And Blood Will Flow, delivered by many of them. They seem stoked to have this happen.
What I liked about this trailer is this movie clearly like has something to say. I don't know exactly what angle on feminism it's going to take, but it clearly has stuff to say. But it also looks like it's going to, at least based on the trailer, accomplish that message, but also be very, very fun along
the
way.
Yeah,
that's
I
a
hope
good combo.
So. I hope so. Yeah. One other thing, I didn't gather it in the trailer, but I'm really hopeful that we'll get to hear diegetically like what this band's music sounds like.
That'd be awesome.
As someone who likes music. Like, right. I would just like to see that. Like, that was something that Uncle Peckerhead did.
That's what
amazingly.
I was
going to
bring up. Yep.
So
exactly.
I had vibes of that, and I hope that they can accomplish that with this one, too. But
I completely agree.
Be good. It could be bad. I just hope it's good.
If it brings, more awesome, like, pop punk, like Uncle Peckerhead did into the world, then I'm 100% fine with this movie.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's probably not pop punk, but if it can bring anything.
Yeah. I mean, whatever.
If it's pop punk,
I don't care what genre
it is. I'm so in.
Oh, you guys said opposite things, I think, there.
No, we were agreeing. I was saying I don't think it's going to be pop punk, but all of us are in agreement that if it can bring some pop punk in, we're going to be down.
Hell yeah.
Are we all of a sudden like all into pop punk? When did that happen?
Yeah, I'm an Avs fan, and all the small things happen, and I've been on a little bit of a revival, just a little bit.
Mark, one of my main work playlists is the Man Cubs, who do pop punk covers of Disney songs.
Yeah, Jack, I'm not really worried about you and I. I felt like Jake was hating
the
pop
yeah,
punk
true.
For
I just
a long,
explained
long,
it.
Long time. And now all of a sudden he's hopping on the bandwagon because of this hockey team that he's a big fan of.
Oh, ostensibly.
What pop punk songs are they using these days?
All the Small Things.
Yeah.
Oh, Blink-182. And that's kind of it.
Who used Flagpole Sitta
as
their goal song when we were in college?
Oh, no. Never mind.
I don't know.
I think it was the Sharks.
It's a good song. Love Flagpole Sitta. Should we talk about top ones? What's on?
Yes.
Let's move on to top ones. My top one, because I'm the one talking, is Prey, because I am an absolute simp for Predator movies.
It's fine.
And this one is like not prehistoric, certainly, but like, I don't know, 10,000? I don't know what time. Tribal era.
I feel like prehistoric would count as 10,000 years ago.
100%, dude.
I said that backwards.
No. Prehistoric is like pre-recorded history, right?
Jesus
history
Christ, Jeff,
is.
You are the most pedantic human being on the planet. Yeah, fine.
Well, there's a line.
It's post-prehistoric
and historic.
It's definitively historic. It just is in an area that we don't have a history of. That's fine. Whatever. This is.
No one documented it, but it's historic.
Multiple.
Well, this is the documentation, Mark.
Thousands.
So now it's historic.
I guess this could be just hundreds of years ago. I'm sure they'll tell us some number, but it's basically set in like Native American inhabited North America, and it's a tribe of people who are being assaulted by the Earth's first predator of the alien franchise that are coming here, and the this...
No, Mark, the Predator franchise.
Well, they are different franchises. I mean, you are correct in correcting me there, but whatever. I think most people know what I'm talking about here.
I knew what you were saying.
Anyways,
I did too.
Young lady named Naru, who's like, I don't think she's the most skilled warrior of her tribe or whatever, but she's just like this standout athlete and badass, is facing off against the Predator in prehistoric Jack America, and kind of sets off the Predator's journey through like coming back to Earth for hunts periodically every couple hundred years.
This movie looks rad as hell.
It's
super badass native protagonist woman. Whoa. And she's got a hell of an awesome dog.
It comes out today on Hulu. So I'm going to be watching this within the next few hours, probably, once we're done.
Very
recording.
Nice. Yeah, it looks great.
Yep.
I'm super into
excited
that.
For that
I
one.
Went a very different direction, though. I picked What Josiah Saw.
Josiah Saw.
What Josiah
saw.
And
it's,
this is a very low budget flick. This is like a family comes back to reunite after estrangement.
You read this as low budget?
I didn't.
I did not read this as low budget.
You didn't?
This looks like a very like
it seems like a very normal budget.
It's not
to me.
It's not a blockbuster,
it's a
but it certainly
budget.
Has some funding behind it.
Or it's or
okay.
they pull
I read
punched
it as low
really,
budget.
Really hard at their trailer. I think it's a normal budget movie.
Okay.
It's so normal,
way,
Jack.
Cinematography looks like beautiful and haunting.
Shot on iPhone.
And it just looks very well made. This is a pick for the trailer more so than how excited I actually am for the movie. This is an incredibly put together trailer.
Do you think Robert Patrick comes cheap?
Yes.
He doesn't come cheap. He's the Terminator.
What's the
he was in the Marine.
Feminist millennials versus
Tone Deaf?
Boomers movie?
That was your pick, Tone Deaf. You son of a bitch.
I know. That was my wife's pick.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Whatever, you're the same thing. You're a unit.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But yes, I do think Robert Patrick comes cheap. That's another reason I thought it might be low budget, because they could get Robert Patrick.
You know, that's fair. That's fair. I think it's normal budget. I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah, I agree.
Fair enough.
It does. The trailer is real good.
This movie looks fantastic, and it also looks like something I don't want to see. Like, this is just not for me, which is fun. It's not even a Western. It's like modern day. But it's like kind of got that rural America vibe to it.
Howling wind, isolation.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's
it's
that.
Modern
so
Western.
I think that's the part of it that is not appealing to me. But I know both of you are going to end up watching this and telling me whether or not I'd see it by the end of the year. So whatever.
Another part of it that really intrigued me is just I think one of the reasons I'm picked this as my top one is because of it reminded me of The Dark and the Wicked, and that movie fucking
that movie
rules.
Was so good. God.
Yeah. Yes.
That movie
was
that better movie than was any of us expected, even after hearing from each other that it was going to be good. So
the movie was exactly as much as I expected.
I can't remember if it was my... It might have been my top one that year.
I don't think it was.
But either way, this reminds me of it, and that's a good thing.
It's your top one for the month. Guess what? Mine's different.
Okay.
Mine's more in Mark's train than yours, because I've been on the whole, like, I want fun for quite a while now. I went with Day Shift. Because Jamie Foxx and Snoop Dogg, like,
hell yeah,
destroying the
Snoop
shit.
Dogg with a machine gun, with like a mini
gun. Vampires for money in fucking LA. I want that every day of my life. This looks like a, this is Jack, this is what a small budget movie looks like, okay? The action sequences in the trailer alone, guys, are intense and awesome and well choreographed, and they spent some money on this. I'm really hoping that it forms a functional 90-ish minute film.
Yeah.
But I can't not do top one. I mean, the chops are incredible. I can't.
It's going to be
it.
So fun. Yeah. What I was fixated on when I watched this trailer is it's going to be coming, or it's like not too dissimilar from the Blade movie that Marvel's releasing soon. And that movie's going to fucking suck nuts compared to this awesome vampire hunting.
Oh, they got
this is the Blade
front.
Movie this generation deserves. Yeah.
They were like, check this out.
I think they can both be good.
Yeah, but one Mark. Won't be good.
Mark, though.
Okay. My apologies. I didn't mean to transgress.
It was transgression. You're right. What else happens?
I hope
Mahersh Lali about
Marvel. I hope Blade movie's awesome, but I am not hopeful.
I don't have high hopes. I don't know. It's just we live in a different time now. What else is coming out this month that we want to talk about?
Probably notable to just mention the name Beast, which is Idris Elba and Charlton Copley. It was, yeah.
That movie didn't do shit for me. That trailer didn't.
I mean, it's a middle of the it's Jaws on land. It's a middle of the summer, like stalked by a beast in are they in South Africa or wherever they are on safari. Giant killer lion.
Big old lion.
There was another lion movie like 15 years ago, and I cannot for the life of me remember the name of it, but I'm getting obviously.
Did you just say 15 years ago?
Yes.
That's longer than my memory goes. I'm out.
Maybe it was 10. I don't know. I feel like it was roughly when we were in high school that I remember watching that. But, you know, I guess you got to get a giant killer lion movie once every 1.5 decades.
That seems right.
Yeah.
That seems right.
We should probably also mention Sandman, the Neil Gaiman Netflix adaptation limited series.
Fart in the is that a Look, thing people are that, interested in?
The comic,
Netflix is
I think,
interested in it.
The graphic novel is one of the most iconic graphic novels ever written and is deserves all the praise it gets.
I will
it
say that it
looked
downright dreamy. Like, I was in a stupor, and I didn't notice what was... I literally was halfway through the trailer before I came to and realized that that was the trailer and it wasn't some, like, ad that I should skip by.
The thing is, it has the graphic novel has such an intense artistic voice, and it's so carefully adhered to and synergistic, achieving that voice throughout the entire thing that, like... If you tried to just make a raw, like creation, you know, visual create, like movie creation of that, I don't think it'd work. You have to have an equally bold artistic position that you're coming from to make a TV show out of this. And this doesn't look like it has it. I'm going to watch it at least a few episodes, but I'm really hoping
that's a series.
It's not super disappointing.
Guys, I am so bad about understanding what is a series and what is a film. When I look at trailers, unless it's like,
well,
oh,
I
knew
no, I actually I was on the same boat where I was convinced it. I basically knew it was a series going in, saw nothing in the trailer to indicate that it was a series.
But then I went.
Yeah, I had to go back and look it up, and like, even then, I couldn't find anything that absolutely confirmed it.
Yeah.
Aside from the fact that it was based on a 75-part comic book, and I was like, well, okay, it's probably a series. Because that's what they do with Sweet Tooth.
I mean,
whatever,
but if you did the first issue of that of the graphic novel, you'll be. That's all you really.
I mean, peek behind the curtain a little bit of like how we draft up our written horror release roundup. I mean, if it ever gets posted this month, but
it's already posted. Ooh,
shit.
Dick.
Well, I had to get a dig in. On
yeah,
air,
I came out very aggressive for a guy who forgot to post
air, okay.
it last month.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Mark writes first, as always, and there were multiple trailers that as I started writing, I saw that he had mentioned series, and I didn't gather that from the trailer, and I didn't bother checking it either. But maybe a lot of series coming
Control
out.
Control F series. I only mentioned series
I noticed it
at
twice.
Most twice.
I noticed it twice.
Twice. Yeah. Twice.
What were the two for? One was for
an Sandman.
Anthology.
One was Sandman, and one was School Tales, the series, where it's in the name.
Nah, doesn't check out. I'm sorry.
Okay.
What else, guys?
Bodies, bodies, bodies,
dude.
Yeah, this looks. Fun. Is this the LGBTQIA plus one, right? No,
this is the Pete Davidson.
Which one am
I?
Oh,
we are
okay.
gonna
very,
talk about
very
that
different
one. Hold on for a minute while we talk about Pete Davidson being in this film.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about it, Mark?
I am very excited about it. I am extremely confused by the fact that A24 appears to be making a straight up the middle slasher.
Can't be.
Flick.
Can't be the case.
Something's wrong. There has to be a metaphor of some type.
They're withholding.
That is odd.
You're going to end like, up, it's going to be like, there's going to be like time jumpy stuff happening they didn't show you in the trailer. And then at the end, like Pete Davidson's tattoos. He's going to be tattooed the whole time, guys. That's
one of their
be a twist.
One of their friends is going to turn out to be like a porcelain doll who's sentient the entire time.
It's
going
to have to do something.
Starts turning into like a unicorn halfway through the movie, and it's a metaphor for, I don't know, narcolepsy or something.
100% a metaphor for narcolepsy. I don't want to say A24 has never made a straight up movie, but if they did this,
I think I'm willing to say that.
Cool, I guess. But this seems like we did some drugs and it's just observational slashings. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, honestly, the weirdest part about this movie is that Pete Davidson is in a like starring role alongside a bunch of teenagers, and it's confusing.
An A24 movie. I mean, that checks out, honestly, whatever.
I mean, A24 made The Bling Ring. That was a pretty straightforward movie.
The fuck
movie.
Is The Bling Ring?
I don't even
ring.
Know what movie that is.
It came out, it's like Emma Watson came out in like 2015 about-
It's not fair. If you're making up movies, Jack, that's not a counter-argument.
Yeah, Jack, that movie didn't exist the whole time.
It was a very straightforward movie about people who steal from rich people in like the Hamptons or some
rich
LA or
something.
That, is.
That movie
yeah,
came
yeah.
out in 2019?
2013,
15,
I said.
Oh, 13. 15.
Oh my God,
okay.
We have so many different years happening.
But like, what I'm saying is that A24 has made normal, Life After Beth, they make normal movies.
Life After Beth, okay, yeah.
That's not a normal, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward rom-com if you get past the coming back to life part.
They made Lamb, it's all normal.
Tusk, just normal stuff.
Absolutely.
All the way down. The Lobster? That's,
you know what?
That's a pretty straightforward
The Lobster is
movie.
Honestly pretty straightforward. Jack, the one that you were thinking of is They, Them. I think it's, I don't know if it's They, Them or They, Slash, Them or however you would say it, but that's the one that you were referring to that
okay.
is a camp for...
On Peacock.
It's a pray away the gay camp, let's be honest.
Yes, lesbian.
That one seems real good.
It looks
See,
great.
I haven't seen anything about this.
Are you kidding me?
Seen,
I have
no.
seen, I think it's Twitter specific. I haven't seen any advertisements anywhere, but then I pull up Twitter and every single promoted post is they, them.
That's
so
interesting.
I haven't seen,
weird.
I haven't seen it at all either, but Mark, also all of my pushed advertisements are for Google Fi because I have Google Fi and my phone's fucked and they're taking forever to fix it. So I'm Googling Google Fi support a lot. And I think that means Google thinks I want Google Fi. So not only are they not fixing my fucking phone, but they're serving me ads for their bullshit ass service.
Targeted advertisement is so smart, guys. You just bought this thing. Let me serve you 700 ads for the thing you already bought.
You just spent 2 hours arguing with a customer service representative on the phone who did nothing for you. Let me advertise our customer
God.
Service to you.
It's such a fucking waste.
I maintain that it would just be in everybody's best interest if there were like three little buttons, like the three little dots that are settings, right? That you can click on any ad that you see that there's a little pull down thing that you just says, I already fucking own this.
Yeah.
Please stop telling me about it.
Stop it with this one. That would benefit the sellers, too. It benefits everyone.
Yeah, because if they make an annoying enough advertisement and I buy it, then I don't have to see it anymore. Yeah. Except maybe then they opt in and they're like, you can have two. I don't know.
You know they're going to do some post-purchase, like, you should also have this thing.
Yeah. Well, that's
You're
fine. Then you
now.
Build out that part of the
Yeah, well,
portfolio.
That's too complicated, Mark. That's too complicated.
It's
it costs
not.
Too much money.
It's not. Give it
costs too much money. That's more money.
I've already spoken it into existence. It's going to happen in the next 2 years.
Actually, we're going the other way now, dude.
We're no longer advertising things?
No, we're going the... Well, no, we're going to keep advertising things. We're just going to go less that way. We're not going to do this on air. It's fine. It's not what the listeners are here for. We're going to get a slightly less targeted existence in the future, which is going to be nice.
This is confusing.
Are there any other things coming out this month we want to tell you?
We didn't even talk about they, them. It just it seems like interesting.
Kevin
Bacon.
One that obviously is very... like just. Ultra pro LGBTQIA plus stuff, but also very fun along the way. It looks great. It looks like a great movie.
Also,
it's going to be very B in a way, but have a message, and then Kevin Bacon's in it. That's not necessarily mutually exclusive of the B-ness, but the acting looked a little rough to me, with the exception of him.
Yeah.
I still want to see it.
It's the first.
I don't have Peacock, though.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's the first like promising thing to come out of Peacock other than just, hey, we have old reruns of The Office.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Mark, they made Firestarter.
Yeah.
They made the remake of Firestarter.
Oh, yeah,
and
that shit. Jack loved that shit.
Oh, that was just one of the best. But it's interesting. Paramount Plus is trying to answer Firestarter because they've got a movie coming out. Orphan : First Kill is a Paramount
that movie,
Plus
dude.
Exclusive.
Paramount's a legit movie company. They put out occasional things that are actually pretty decent. There's
my write-up for Orphan First Kill that's coming out this month. So there's another call-out. It's coming out on the 19th. Was I'm all good, but thanks.
It looks so bad.
You guys are aware of Orphan, right? Like, yes. At least from the poster. That's basically the only thing I know about it. Is this movie... Were people clamoring for a sequel and or prequel?
No!
I have never heard anyone mention Orphan ever, aside from that I've seen the poster, because it's kind of a creepy poster.
That's why I'm all good, but thanks. Like, I just can't fathom, similar to your... Whatever you're bidding, I'm sorry.
And while we're shitting on stuff, there's a movie called The Invitation that's coming out that isn't The Invitation, and also is advertised as from the producer of The Curse of La Llorona, and that's not a good selling point.
Three different movies, also. You have to clarify which curse of which.
Oh, the bad one. It's the bad one. I think they were hoping I wouldn't remember that that's the bad one.
Wait, there's the Blumhouse one that's bad, and then there's like another one that's even worse than the Blumhouse one.
One's just La Llorona, right?
Oh, maybe.
La Llorona's the good Mexican one.
Well, there's that, but then there's a third movie, guys. You guys are not listening to me. There's the one that's like the lady who's haunting the autocrat dictator guy that you're talking about. Yeah. That was decent and I think is on Shudder. And then there's The Curse of La Llorona, the Blumhouse movie that sucks on ice.
Inexcusably bad.
And then there's another one that is almost the exact same plot line as the Blumhouse movie, but lower budget and worse.
Yeah, so we're not talking about that one, though.
But we don't know which one this is my
point. No, it's from the Blumhouse one.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, okay. You're saying that?
No, it's The Curse of La Llorona is the producer of. I double-checked it.
Okay.
I was pretty drunk, but I double-checked it.
I can validate. I was not drunk when I watched it. That's the movie it said.
Christ. Listener, are you picking this up too, that they're just like not listening to the words that I'm saying?
No, I'm listening
to Mark's you. Mark wants to know the distinction between The Curse of La Llorona and The Curse of La Llorona.
Yeah.
It's one of the...
The Curse of
situations.
The La Llorona?
Yeah.
The That's Curse of The up. Llorona, or...
What I'm telling you, though, is I'm
La
pretty
curse
sure...
of La Llorona.
I'm pretty sure I properly clicked through the IMDb producers and found the one from the Blumhouse production.
I just want to go back to Don't Make movies. A Movie That's Called The Invitation, because go fuck yourself.
Yeah, well,
that movie
looks
fine. It's just gothic horror that is essentially...
Stop it.
Stop it. Okay.
Stop
sorry.
It.
Sorry, Jesus.
Don't just name it something different and we'll be good, okay? Then we'll be good.
You gonna get married is the new name of that movie.
I don't like it. Name it something different.
Pass.
Are we done?
Yes. Of course we're done. I don't think there's anything else. There's a
Feature
bad
presentation.
Shark movie.
Name it something different. That's what's coming out this month. We're moving on.
All right. Over at AZHorror.com this week, we watched Chud. C.H.U.D.
Thank
Chud.
You. That's important.
Mark.
God. There's a period after the D, too.
Just you so picked this movie. And why did you pick this movie?
I don't know. I mean,
What?
I didn't really have a reason, really honestly. This is one of the ones that like I've heard bandied about. There, it got some pop when I think Get Out came out because Jordan Peele mentioned that it was one of his, or maybe it was Us. I think Chud was one of the inspirations for that movie.
It was Us because he also featured the Chud VHS in a few different shots.
It's one of the things that's just there as a love letter.
There was exactly there was a thing that I was watching a while ago, and at this point the reference is completely lost to the annals of my brain, but someone called somebody else a Chud as an insult, and I was like, hey, that's a horror movie, and it just like stuck out to me. I don't know, I wrote it down on my list as like I knew it was sort of a not quite B-horror 80s creature feature thing, and it sounded like
it
sounded like a fun, you know, manhole to jump into for our podcast, because those are usually good things to talk about. You know, there's a lot of shit to unpack.
Did we not watch this for when we were on Nightmare Junkhead
We watched Mimic. You're thinking of Mimic.
Mimic and Relic.
He's thinking of
Wishmaster.
Relic.
Relic. Yeah, sorry, not Mimic.
We watched both Mimic and Relic. The Relic.
Not the Relic, the one in the museum, but the other one.
No, the 90s
no,
one.
No, it's the sewers. It's sewers. By the way, go check out Nightmare Junkhead podcast. Fantastic.
Yeah, the podcast fucking rules.
It's great. Hold on. I don't think we watched Relic. I don't
Oh, really? Was it The Mimic?
Yeah, it was Mimic. The Relic. The Relic is
we watched two different movies and picked one.
Oh, my God. We watched The Mimic and Wishmaster.
Wishmaster.
The second time we were on, we watched The Mimic and Wishmaster. The first time we were on, we watched Scream 2 and something else. And Event Horizon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Mm. God, I can't believe you guys don't remember
good
this.
Times.
You're right, though. We should.
We only watch hundreds of horror movies.
We should watch The Relic. The Relic is a fucking awesome movie. I love that movie
we should.
So much.
The new one in the house?
No. The old one in the museum.
I'm gone.
I watched that around the time because that was on the list. It must have been on their bracket, and I watched
it. May
it
have been. I don't know.
Remind
it was.
Myself.
It was in the same quadrant.
Yeah. So, what are we talking about? I don't even remember what
we're
movie.
Talking
we're
about.
Chud.
C
oh, fuck.
Period.
Yeah.
H period. U period. D period. J.
All right. So that's, I guess, Mark, a reason to have picked it or close to that. I've
judicious
seen this movie twice. Yeah, judicious like they're of a reason. Mark, I've seen this twice before. Once when I was a kid, kind of 7th, 8th grade, and then once in college. I don't think it was with you, Jake.
This is the third time then.
Yeah, this is my third viewing. I think it was a crispy double feature kind of a situation.
I did not watch it with you guys. This is only the second time I've seen it.
Okay.
This is, I think I mentioned this during the draft, but this was inexplicably like a horror movie that was referenced like first when horror movies are discussed by one of our friends from Days Yore. really weird. That's the case.
Well, I'm glad we have it under our belts now.
Yeah, 100%. Second viewing for me. I'm assuming first for Mark.
Yep, never seen it. I've seen it times.
Well, you picked this movie, and you know what that means. You got to hit us with a 30-second plot synopsis.
Oh my God,
30 seconds
so
are on the goddamn movie. Clock. It's going to start when you start.
Okay, so a number of people start disappearing around New York City, notably the Undergrounders, which are a bunch of homeless folk who live underground. The absence is noted by AJ, the Reverend, played by Daniel Stern, the guy from Home Alone. he gets the attention of a detective who's looking for his lost wife. They end up finding a group of subterranean underground cannibalistic humanoid dwellers, or whatever the fuck the anagram is, and they blow them up by filling the underground with, I don't know, there's a lot more things here. I really did a bad job.
So the biggest problem was that you mentioned Daniel Stern as being from Home Alone instead of Bushwhacked, but other than that.
Oh my God, I want to talk about Bushwhacked. No one knows about Bushwhacked, and it's a great movie.
Low key, Bushwhacked is fucking awesome.
I'm so glad this came up early, and it's going to come up often, listeners, because Bushwhacked
is good,
rules.
But Home Alone is better.
No, I agree. Home Alone's the better movie, but Bushwhacked is underappreciated.
I'll also stump for the movie Remote Control, which was just a complete knockoff of Home Alone.
Sure. But Daniel Stern in Bushwhacked is an all-time performance.
Yes. I gotta make a dookie. I still say that to this day.
It's such a good movie.
So the things I didn't touch on are numerous. There is
many and varied.
There, it's a sundry. There's a myriad sundry of things. So there's basically a government agency sponsored by this guy named Wilson, who's trying to basically shove this all under the rug. He says that CHUD is cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers and that they're searching for these dudes to like root them out and kill them. In fact, it is contamination hazard urban disposal where they're just dumping radioactive waste and shit below the streets of New York City that led to a bunch of mutations that created these monsters. And then there's like some zombie shit happening in the background and whatever. They still try and blow up the underground of New York City by filling it with gas. And
smart move.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. What in the fuck subgenres of horror does this fit into? Except monster?
80s?
Cult classic.
80s?
Are decades a subgenre now?
It's cult classic, dude.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you cult classic.
100%.
It is.
Yeah, it's a cult classic monster film from the 80s, man. Like, this is a B-80s monster movie.
We haven't even touched on John Hurd. We haven't touched on John Hurd's like whole plot line at all.
Do we need to?
No, I don't think so. I'm just saying there's like an entire main character that hasn't even come up yet.
He's irrelevant to the movie.
This is the second time in like literally a month, which is saying something, that Kim Greist has been in a film. Going back to Manhunter. Like,
Jesus,
that's weird.
Who's she in Manhunter?
Yeah, she's the wife in Manhunter too.
Well, these are both the Manhunter and this are both extremely 80s movies.
Yeah, it's funny to me because I can't say that I've seen like two of her films in close succession.
Well, we're watching Throw Mama from the Train next, so
she's probably in that too.
Danny DeVito classic.
And Billy Crystal.
Yeah. No other subgenres. Let's just, I guess.
No, that's, I don't even know. It doesn't even fit anything. It's unique.
That's it. I mean, it's just a creature feature. You don't need anything else.
Well, Jake, unique is an interesting point to bring up because that's a good transition to what the movie does right. It is unique. This movie is its own thing.
That's the only thing you're going to
have. That's not the only thing.
That's
such
a backhanded compliment.
Come on. It is unique, and that's cool. It's a unique story. It's, wow, like conspiracy theories, government as the villain were very common in the 80s. This one is a very different take on it, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, I won't disagree.
So unique from the narrative perspective is where you're going. Okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
I also like the urban horror.
Yes, that's where
vibe.
I was going to go as well.
We don't get an absolute ton of that. It just isn't an arena that we play in very often. So I like the way that it's able to do that. I mean, obviously they're going into the subterranean area, but it still plays like a very urban vibe, and I appreciate that because I was trying to go back as I was watching it and thinking of the last time that we had like a legitimate city-based horror film that we reviewed, and I couldn't really pinpoint it.
Yeah,
but I enjoyed that. I think that it's a cool setting for sure.
It is funny that you brought up The Mimic though, which is also like weird shit happening in the subway tunnels type of movie. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a good point. The whole concept of undergrounders having like a society below the streets of New York is something that I think has a grain of truth to it. Well, probably more than a grain of truth to it, but then also like what happens when things start coming up from those depths that are horrifying. I think that is an interesting spin that is also easily romanticized. Obviously now at this point in society, there's a lot of hand waving that you have to do there of, you know, there's a lot of drug use and mental health issues that are also part of those communities, but so we don't need to exploit them for horror purposes. But, you know, as far as simpler times go, just kind of saying like, hey, there's larger groups of people who live underground and have to deal with this shit where they're fighting cannibalistic humanoids that are caused by radioactive waste.
Yeah, I think it's like, this is before our time, but I think it's somewhat commentary on like New York City at that time in the early to mid 80s. Like that was not really the best place to be. And I'm not going to say this, it was like deftly handled the fact that it was not a good place for many humans to have existed, but
the movie is pretty unkind towards unhoused people in general.
Horror is a manifestation of issues in our society. Horror is a manifestation of issues in our society, and one of those in a very small setting was the situation that was New York City in the mid-80s, right?
but it's also, it's for how, you know, insensitive it is towards unhoused people, it is also kind of empathetic towards them as well, right? Because
totally.
The main characters are all, well, the main characters as far as AJ, played by Daniel Stern, and George Cooper, played by John Hurd, are both very sympathetic to the homeless population, and then Lieutenant Bosch, or Captain Bosch, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Captain.
Is basically just indifferent. He just sort of doesn't interact with them. So that of the three main characters, two of them are actively sympathetic toward the homeless population, which is an interesting take that I don't think you see all that frequently.
Well, and the literal villain of the film is the one who has caused the issue.
Definitely. Right? That's so what I'm saying. Like they are the homeless population here is victimized by the government turning them into chuds, and then by the chuds themselves.
So in a way, maybe it's more depth than I was giving it credit for. Like, it handles it okay, but
yeah, it's got some rough stuff outwardly.
Oh, it's the edges are not.
Yeah, I you know whatever. What it is? I actually would say that this movie handles it pretty well, but I also think that it is itself subject to romanticization. I don't know how to say that word. By the viewer. That kind of takes the message from it and probably changes it in a way that is less friendly than what the movie itself actually espouses.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I'm good with that.
But I would still say it's something that the movie does right. It's part of the appeal of going under the streets.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We got to talk about the Chuds themselves. They look fucking awesome.
They're so sick.
I love them. And they show you so much of them. Not enough.
Oh, they don't give a
fuck,
dude. But they show you
full
all
unbroken shots, like full on close ups.
So much of them. Not enough, though.
That scene where Kim Grice, Lauren Daniels in the film, cuts off the head of one of them, and it's like just like a glowing
green goo
opening.
Looks like Predator blood. They had a bunch of leftover Predator blood.
They
just filmed Herbert West Reanimator. They had a bunch of green goo lying around.
It's perfect, and that's actually a really good comparison. Like the practical in this film hits like that, and it's campy but really nice.
The irony of the whole thing is that they actually took that green goo and threw it out, and it itself created some chuds. Yeah. Can we also
joke? Stop me dead in my tracks.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that.
Can we also talk about the music? Because the movie in this movie, the music in this movie fucking slaps. It sounds like it was recorded at the bottom of the pool half of a time.
Yeah.
I'm straight up swapping like random fucking words out of my sentence for similar sounding words, and I apologize. I thought my brain was working at a higher level than it apparently is right now.
Listener, welcome to the Mark Brain Fog.
What is in your hand? Are you holding a donut?
That's a toy, bro.
It's a hand chew toy thing. It's just I got this
chew toy.
That's what babies have.
Babies, dogs.
Lisa does love these. No, it's a grip strengthener thing. I just got them in as like a stocking stuffer last year, and I keep them around.
Dude. That's that thing that you stack onto a little pillar.
I mean, you could also stack it on a pillar if you wanted.
Those things are pretty rigid in my experience. Jeez. No, the things you stack onto a pillar.
Oh, I mean.
What's that puzzle called? Hold on.
Ring puzzle.
But there's a name for that classic logic puzzle.
Don't break the ice?
Yes, it's don't break the ice, Mark.
Peril of monkeys?
Don't wake daddy?
Mousetrap?
So we'll give him a couple of minutes.
Give me
time to Google this.
He's giving me the eyes. I don't know what fucking puzzle you're referencing.
Tower of Hanoi. Oh, he's just gone.
Okay.
Tower of Hanoi, Mark, is what I'm talking about. That's the puzzle game.
Explain to me what that is.
It's like where you've got a set number of pegs and rings that are all out of order, of varying diameter, and you have to stack them in order from widest to like least wide. And you can only move one ring at a time onto different pegs.
Yeah, okay.
So like a very old school logic problem.
You talked to me about stacking rings on pegs, and it's basically just like that children's toy that every single kid has.
I mean, that's effectively what it is, right? With more pegs and a winner and losers.
And logic and rules.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a puzzle. It's the exact same thing, but it turns into a puzzle.
In my experience, those kids' toys are rigid, not soft, Jake.
Okay.
Cool energy.
I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience with those.
Is there anything else this movie does right? Hard right?
Can
you talk about the vibes?
I could do an extension of vibes from like it being an urban set, like the vibes stem from that.
The only thing I have to say about vibes is that I do like the music, but I mentioned.
Are we
going to
keep talking?
See,
like,
I don't love
the
music.
Thing?
Is like, sometimes good, but sometimes it's just 25 minutes of.
Is this a new 5-second like sub segment for A to Z Horrorcast? Is just like quick vibe check on the movie? Like, how are the vibes?
Bad.
Yeah, I like it.
No, good.
They're
Why
bad.
No?
I did not
no,
like
no,
the vibes
no,
of this
no.
movie.
Bad.
I actually do like this. Are the vibes good or are the vibes bad?
The
and
vibes
we all
are
have to
bad
answer
in
at the same
one.
Time.
It's black and white. Like it's one or the other.
It's good or bad.
But no, I think the question is just how are the vibes? We all have to answer at the same time, and you can come up with whatever word you want.
Okay, I picked bad for this one.
Oh shit! So it's not good or bad. It's like come up with it. Okay.
It don't matter if you're black or white, Jake.
Yeah, you're right.
The thing about being my baby.
But
dark or light.
These are good. These are good vibes. I'm going to go
I
with good.
I do not
cool.
so like the
like,
vibes
you
of this
any
film.
Word you want. You want good.
And we've come up with, so far, good and good. Bad, respectively.
Huh. These are that the only puts words, me in a real pickle.
These are the only words that my brain can come up with, so fuck off.
Fuck. I wish I was quippier than I am.
Me too, buddy.
Yeah, get quippy. Do you guys have anything this movie does middle? Because I did not.
Here's where it's interesting that you talk about vibes, because this is kind of where I put this, where the dialogue in this movie and its delivery is truly poor. Where everything they say is,
I think that delivery is poor,
wild, and in such a stilted. I mean, there's so many times where it's just like, this is not the way anybody would ever speak about anything, and it also, their energy level does not match what's happening in the world whatsoever, especially during the flamethrower, where the military guy's like, come on, this is over, and the police captain's like, no, I can definitely see something in there. Something's happening. And then on the screen, you're seeing like flamethrowers explode and monsters in the background and shit.
He's a police captain who literally summoned a squad of like stormtroopers with flamethrowers. And they're all just like, well, we're walking through the sewers. Okay, this is interesting. What's going to happen next?
Early on, when the police captain's trying to get his investigation started, and he's yelling, he's on the phone supposed to be yelling with his superior officer, but instead of yelling, the conversation goes like this. Are you crazy? I can't tell him that. You tell him that. That's what I said. It's like, what? Nobody. I think it's a combination of the direction and the performances. And
I actually.
Wild.
Right, no,
that's
I actually.
Downright thespian.
I do love that you're bringing this up in Does Middle, because it's something that I think is part and parcel of like 80s movies that have grown into this cult classic genre, where there's just a fundamental disconnect between the people who are writing the script and what humans sound like, behave like, are. Right?
But this one's not even as much as a script problem as it is a performance and direction problem.
Okay.
Like, the words
I
would be fine if they were delivered with any kind of urgency.
That's probably fair, too. But I guess what I would say is, like, the entirety of personas in most 80s cult classic movies are notable because of that reason specifically. There's just, like, some weird fundamental disconnect between how these humans are behaving on screen and what any rational, normal human would ever do in this situation.
And I guess that's why I put it in Does Middle, because I like that it's consistent, and this movie is fucking consistent in that.
It is consistent.
Weird. But man, it's so weird.
on that same token, and I don't know if you guys have this in Does Wrong or not, but like the entire conceit of John Hurd's character, George Cooper, is so fucking weird.
Oh,
he's such an asshole.
Wrong.
But then
oh, yeah,
he's
does
a protagonist.
Wrong.
Okay, let's just get into, well, wait. Are we good with Does Middle?
No.
Okay, Jacob.
Oh, no. I thought you said, are we good with putting it in Does Middle? And I was like, fuck no.
Oh, okay. So we don't have anything else to put in the Does Middle.
No, I'm good to move on. Let's just start blasting this guy.
Let's start blasting John Hurd, who is actively
such a dick.
Yeah, actively harpooning his girlfriend's or wife's
how
career.
How the hell did he get how did he
and
get
his own career in the process.
All he wants to do is be in the underground of cities photographing
taking pictures of
darkness.
Homeless people.
How did he get this girl?
I don't know. He must have a massive schlong.
No, he has a past filming fashion, Jake. They met in his past life.
Schlong. Dude, Kim Grice is so attractive. She seems like a nice person, too. He doesn't seem like either of those. He's also like 20 years older, and his teeth don't even fit in his fucking skull.
He sucks real hard.
This piece of shit. Unbelievable.
Wow. This went in a direction I wasn't anticipating.
Me
I do
too.
Like it.
Personal, Mark. Make the attacks personal.
I think
it's fine. Like,
I do think it's funny. I do think it's funny that they're simultaneously spinning him as one of the heroes of the movie, and then he's just like an unrecognizable asshole to everyone else on screen at all times.
And
until
he's
probably
totally unrepentant about
quarter
it
of the movie.
Entirely.
Well, until another thing that I wasn't really going to put in Does Wrong, but I'm fine escalating it. Like, the talk about abortion in this movie was just a lot. That's more of a commentary about the society we're living in today.
My God.
But, like, that was his most redeeming scene.
And even that, he says, it's you could do whatever, like, it's your choice. And
exactly.
His message is, I support you in your choice. But what he's saying is, like,
his...
fuck off, don't bother me with this shit, it's your deal.
This is your kid, lady, you figure out whether or not you want it.
I didn't love how he handled it, but I didn't get that intent
His messaging is good, but he's or his message is good. His messaging
his delivery
is bad.
Would you want to say poor again?
Yeah, I do want to say poor again. It's poor.
You son of a bitch.
That conversation is filled with nuance, and his delivery was like, dude, I don't know. Fuck you.
Yeah. By the way, have you guys seen the trailer for Michael Mann's new movie?
No.
It straight up has one of the characters saying, isn't that what you did, you son of a bitch? Screaming that at the camera.
They knew
in
what
the
they
trailer.
Did.
You used a pole saw, didn't you? I think that is a neat pick to say that this movie is, I think, the only time outside of like very serious dramas where I've seen a conversation about an abortion happening. So,
yeah.
It's interesting and notable.
And in a very, like, ultimately, the message is good in that conversation about abortion.
Yeah, because they're choice. Like, hey, this is an option, and we're choosing to have the kid because we are able to, and we would both love to have this child, and we are able to support it, which
yeah,
is
a very healthy
conversation works.
About abortion.
Well, I mean, it's somewhat healthy. He's
screaming it angrily, but
he's saying, like, I mean, whatever, I'll have a kid if you want to have a kid or something, like, whatever.
Leave
don't
me
bother
the fuck
me.
Out of it.
I'm only interested in authentic shit, man.
God damn, he's such a dick.
But she
and not
seems
even
to
like
be
a fun redeeming way, like Micah from Paranormal Activity. He's just a fucking asshole.
I mean, we all like Micah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He's unlike Micah in that he's not likable.
I see. Okay.
Micah's a dick, but he's charming.
I also don't understand the guy. Thank you for weighing in on that one, Jake. I also don't understand why the listener, he's been on his phone for the last like 45 seconds. He just leaned into his mic to say
to
yes.
To make sure
back.
We knew he was still there. Yeah. To prove to you, the listener, he's still a part of the podcast. Now his eyes are darting around wildly.
Well, so no joke, while you guys were making fun of me, I cut out, so I missed the punchline of one of those being made fun of. Is it because I was on my phone?
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm just talking about sports. It's fine.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, that probably counts as a bingo.
Could have guessed that.
Fuck, no, I'm not watching. I'm just talking about it. It's the off season. It's fine.
Okay, yeah, you're watching a conversation develop about sports. It's fine.
True.
I don't understand the guy. I don't know. I don't think he ever has a name, but the guy who's the tail that Wilson puts on AJ is so confusing.
Stern.
On Howard Stern. No, Daniel Stern.
No.
Not Howard Stern.
Not Howard Stern. Notably not Howard Stern.
Baba Booey, Baba Booey. He's got such a weird vibe for a guy who's tailing anyone. He's walking around in a polo. He's like 6 feet from Daniel Stern at any given time. And anytime Daniel Stern tries to do something, he just shows up and fucks with them directly. Like, it's not
it's
a tail.
So strange.
he's just like a guy who's true. There being all up in his business. And that's it. It's not subtle. He's just, hey, can we get an asshole? Can we get a pest to be on this guy? I need a pest deployed on this human right here. Thank you. It's such a fucking weird thing for the entire movie. And then I guess it just culminates in him getting locked in a cellar.
Every like human interaction in this movie is fundamentally strange
and
off. It's
so fucking weird.
Wait, we're still wrong, right?
Yes.
Yes, this is what the movie does wrong.
Your guy has a camera. Mine has a flamethrower.
Well, and actually, I mean, I'm glad you're bringing that up, too, because one of the other things I had written down here is that there's, like, no emotional weight to the big scenes of this movie, which I think is exactly what you're saying, where you're kind of bringing it up as far as, like, these action moments are supposed to be a little bit more punchy, but also, like, there are these actual emotional scenes, like, listener, go back and watch. I assume you still have this because it's freely available everywhere, but go back and watch the scene where they stumble upon, I'm blanking on the names, but the undergrounders that they had talked to earlier, right? George goes underground and checks on the group and takes the photos of the guy's leg wound and stuff. They come back and he's one of them's dead. The other guy's turned into is like 70% turned into a chud. And Mrs. M charges one of the guys to kill him. And her delivery is, "You killed my brother." And then to like top that whole scene off, AJ just comes in, shoves her out of the way, and is like, "Hey, I'm here now." that was the climax of
it's got to be the direction, right? This is not a well-directed movie.
Yeah, and just to put that guy on blast, the director is Douglas Cheek.
Let's talk shit. He has directed three total things. He directed an episode of a television series called Vegetable Soup in 1975.
Whoa, what?
Then he directed...
The series was called Vegetable Soup?
That's what the series was called, yes. Woof. Then he directed Chud, and then since 1984, he's directed nothing until he directed... Empires, : Peter, Paul, and the Christian Revolution, a TV movie documentary in 2011. That's his directing career. And I think he's got more work than he deserves.
This movie's a lot.
I would, you know what? I would love to see his high. You know how like how actors have like the headshots that they put
in? Zing reel?
Yeah, this is the movie exactly. The zing reel from Douglas Cheek. That's just like... It's like 80% Chud, and then there's like a random scene between, I guess, Peter and Paul at the gates of heaven or whatever the fuck this
Man,
shit is.
Man, this is a movie that like literally the Criterion Collection like fucked with giving a release, and it was like sort of a joke. And then
it was 100% a joke.
Not the Criterion Collection, but like another one that's semi-related end up releasing like a Blu-ray or something, some very mastered version of it recently, which I found to be interesting. So that plays into the cult classic standpoint, but yeah, I mean, go ahead, blast the guy. I don't know, he's not gonna fucking hear.
I mean, the other fucking weird. Yeah, he's an avid listener. He's a $10 patron.
Larry,
assholes. I was waiting.
I also the other scene to highlight here is when Bosch actually finds his wife. A, it's funny because they're like, "Oh shit, it's his wife," and then they just like cut away. And get him out of here. That's his wife. And then they cut to him smoking a cigarette and drinking whiskey and like making jokes in the next scene.
He wasn't making jokes.
But he's not like crying. He's not emotional.
He was like catatonic, like doing that, like, I'm going to pound my cigarette on the bar counter thing.
Well,
that's
where
we're introduced to the fact that John Goodman's in this film.
Let's talk about John Goodman as a neat pick,
Is that? Yeah, I mean, we got to blow the whistle soon.
This movie kind of sucks. It's boring. I'm done with those.
There, now we're in nitpicks.
John fucking Goodman is in
neat
this film.
Neat pick.
As a misogynist.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a huge misogynist. He's talking about like eating the waitress, basically.
Yes. I mean, that's not the basic. Oh, my God, dude.
I don't think you can hear it as much on the mic that's actually recording as the one that you guys
can
hear.
This is the Mark Dies episode.
It is. I am struggling to breathe.
Jesus.
I'm exaggerating a little bit. I just got a tickle in my throat.
It's got to be one of John Goodman's first roles, right?
I would
think
so, yeah.
If the IMDb trivia is correct, this is his first film role.
Oh, wow. Very
nice. Handsome.
He is handsome. Don't past tense him.
No, okay, fine. He is handsome, but he's like got kind of like a David Harbour-esque thing going on in his younger years here.
Yeah, I buy it. I like it.
David Harbour has a John Goodman-esque thing going on.
Oh, I guess I exaggerated slightly. The thing on IMDb trivia is one of John Goodman's first movie appearances, but whatever.
That's fine. We don't need the literal first thing. It's not like we need fucking George Clooney in whatever it was.
ER?
ER, thank you.
Or Tom Hanks in that sitcom.
ER?
No.
Everybody
Jack
got their
Nicholson
debut.
In ER?
Yeah. Everybody got their debut on ER. That show's been on for a long time.
Oh, my God.
I watched the series premiere of ER with my mom. Fun fact.
Which one?
The series premiere.
Oh,
wasn't
the
that
series.
Like 1990?
I heard season.
No, it was like 94, I think.
Okay.
Hold on, let me Google it.
No, it had to be earlier than 94.
1994,
dude.
Baby.
Bum,
wow. Bum, 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 bum,
bum. Literally a different show.
I like the kid. I like how long they spent cutting. They spent with the camera dead focused on the kid who just watched her dad get fully obliterated by
a chud. Yeah, the immediate
and she's not scared.
Cuts.
She's not crying. She's just looking dead eyed at the camera.
That's what someone in shock looks like.
She's like hyperventilating, I guess.
That's what someone in shock looks like. I loved the immediate cut. She's like looking out at the chud. And then the chud takes the dude, and then she's just, it's like borderline smash cut into her just sitting there staring.
In my own head canon, I picture them being like, shouldn't she be crying or something? And the director swoops in, he's like, no, she wouldn't be crying. She'd be in shock. She wouldn't do anything.
Yeah,
she's catatonic.
And make sure you focus on that for like
little
way
girl,
too
do
long.
Nothing. The do nothing. Stare forward.
The funny thing is, like, you're saying that as if like this was perceived by the director to be a serious film, and there ain't no goddamn way this was taken seriously. Like, this was not taken seriously.
I feel like this had to have been taken seriously.
No one took this seriously, Mark.
Okay. My bad.
You want to bet?
Then they weren't. Then they were not having enough
fun. I do
want
to bet because I want you to come up with the evidence to prove this wasn't taken seriously.
Oh, we're just going to call the guy up.
Okay.
Jack is.
What could he be doing? What could this guy?
Like, well, honestly, is he alive?
I don't know. He doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
Fuck.
He's clearly directing Peter and Paul 2, The Christian Revolution, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, coming out 12 years after the original TV movie documentary.
That movie came out in 2003, Jack.
So, Dougie Cheek, hit us up. Let us know if it was serious or not.
And I guess if it's not serious, then I'll watch Bushwhacked. I'm going to watch Bushwhacked.
Wait, but if it's serious, I'm going to watch Bushwhacked.
Yeah, where one of us is going to watch
Bushwhacked. Whatever
happens, the
winner
and the loser
are
both going to watch Bushwhacked, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Those are the stats.
Good bet,
I like
good
the
bet,
way he
bet.
Says "go down there" as like, and then the other actor repeats it. He's like, "When he's like, you want to go down? You want to go down there?" And the other
go
actor,
down there.
Yeah, I want to go down there.
Oh, you're talking about the dude who I quoted, the journalist.
Yeah,
yeah. His accent didn't make sense to me.
You
really
go down
I'm
there?
Sure they're look. New York City's a melting pot, but I haven't quite heard that level of situation happening out of someone's mouth.
Before we get too far from the girl in the photo booth, I do think it's funny that the guy, so you can hear the dude
phone
is
booth.
Like, what did I say?
Photo
booth.
Photo booth.
Very different thing.
Very sorry, listener.
Photo booths are for teenagers to get hand jobs.
Woof.
And photos of it. I do it so the guy in the phone booth is like sort of saying the numbers that he's dialing under his breath, and he's dialing 867-5309.
Yeah, pretty good.
This movie took itself super seriously.
Super seriously, guys. Super serious.
Yeah, asshole.
I
also
know what else to say.
Well,
I'm too bored to take notes on nitpicks.
We haven't Jack's really done. We haven't really touched on radioactivity as a driving factor in this movie yet, but I'm
Do
pretty sure if I'm in the underground of any city and I pick up a Geiger counter, I don't know what these things are rated at, but if it suddenly surges to maximum and then swaps back down, I'm pretty sure I'm dead within like the next 24 hours.
Yeah, I was gonna
I don't know
Geiger
how
counter.
I don't know
if
how
a Geiger counter goes to maximum, like, aren't you at, like, the elephant's foot or some shit? Aren't you, like, dead immediately?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different Geiger counters that have a lot of different sensitivities. Maybe.
Yeah, man, go back and watch those scenes in Chernobyl. They have the ones that go to, like, 10 milligrays, and then they have the ones that go to, like, 10,000 milligrays, and they both end up
this
saturating.
Okay, you're right. Fine.
Sieverts? I can't remember what they're fucking... Grays and sieverts are both units of radiation. But I guess my point is, like, I assume they have the nice ones.
Yeah,
and they're saturated.
They have them
for
in rads. They have. I'm
seconds.
Sure they make them with every unit of radiation as an option.
Nah. Only grays. I do just want to revisit for the moment that this guy who's a captain in the New York City police department is able to like snap his fingers and summon three men in radiation costumes
flame
with
throwers.
They have
NYPD have flamethrowers at the ready.
They got it from the pest control department. You know, that's the like animal control has it just in case there's a raccoon outbreak.
I mean, it's what they use for the alligators normally, right?
Yeah. Everybody knows that alligators are notably susceptible
to flamethrowers. They're weak to fire.
Yeah, weak to flamethrowers.
They're water earth, so they're weak to fire.
We haven't.
Isn't that how that works?
You're doing a Pokemon thing?
I don't know. I was trying to.
I feel like if they're
water,
they
water and
Pokemon
earth are both strong against fire.
Yeah, you're exactly wrong.
I was needing someone to check me on this.
Well, we're
exactly wrong.
We have.
After a period of being apoplectic about it.
Consider yourself rebutted.
I didn't understand your joke on like five different levels.
Well, it was because it was wrong. I think it was one
level.
It's not
as much a joke as he's
also earth isn't a Pokemon element. It's ground type.
Idiot.
Earth.
There's no earth
you
type.
Fucking
There's
moron.
Rock and ground.
Yeah,
you said earth instead of ground, didn't you? You said
isn't that what you did?
You're conflating Captain Planet and Pokemon again, Jake.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know my Pokemon. I'm an asshole.
Joey Wheeler was weak to Mati, though.
Everybody was weak to Mati. That was like his whole point.
Yeah, he was the best.
No, he was the worst. But in case you like anyone
ever
needed to
I didn't
to
mean
fight
Mati.
Him.
I meant Kwame.
Oh no,
the
Mati.
Guess
guy.
What?
The
guess
earth
what?
Guy.
Guess what?
What?
ratings.
Yes. Thank you.
We over at A to Z Horror use a 1 through 10 rating system to rate the movies we watch. For one, think of how you'd rate Jules' knowledge of what fast food is called in other countries.
You know what they call a quarter pound of a cheese in France?
No.
And for 10, think of how Jules would rate hamburgers for breakfast.
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers! The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Story's the first game we rate these movies. Mark, this was your pick. Rate the thing for story.
I don't like going first on these like B-level horror cult classics from the 80s because I feel like your mileage may vary significantly.
Just give it a 10. It's
is
fine.
Entirely dependent on like how you perceive these things. But I gave it a 5. I think this is definitively worse than average. It's ambitious but meandering. It is laudable for some pieces of it where it is, you know, telling the stories of undergrounders to a certain extent, although every notable character is an above grounder, and including things like conversations about abortion and that type of thing, where it's interesting in those regards, but they're just like they all have ADD from a writing perspective, and it all comes together in a very messy way. So like the individual pieces have moments where it's like, oh, that's kind of a cool thing to include in a movie. But then if you zoom out and look at how everything's connected.
The actual script writing.
It's yeah, exactly. The actual script writing of it is preposterously bad. So they ended up balancing out slightly worse than average. I gave it a 5.
I gave it a 6. I agree with you. I'm crediting a little more for the overall concept. I think it's a cool idea. It's also cool to see a movie doing this government paranoia stuff in a unique way, like I said. I think that's all pretty neat, but it's pretty messy, Jake.
It's neat, but it's messy, baby.
I gave it a 6.5. Like, I agree that it's messy, but I also like it being one of, I think, a relatively few group of truly urban horror films.
That's going to take us into world building and immersion. Mark, what is your world building and immersion score? I'm a little nervous about it. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm nervous about it too, frankly. I gave it a 6. I think, if anything, this is where the movie shines. The reason I think this movie stands, I don't want to say it stands the test of time. Let me figure out how to phrase it.
Fucking absolutely does.
The reason that this is still brought up in the modern zeitgeist of horror movies is specifically because of its world building. I don't think it's a particularly cogent world, but I do think it's notable,
yes.
Right? This underground society of mutated beings that have basically bubbled up and are starting to kidnap people from the streets of New York. That's exactly what makes this thing the cult classic that it is, that continues to be pervasive is probably a strong word, but pervasive in horror culture. So I think it's notable in that way. I don't want to go any higher than 1/2 step above exactly average. So there you go.
Yeah, I give it a 4, and I agree with you. It's tough because the world building is something it does well, but goddamn, I was not immersed in this thing. It's so boring. This is a tough movie to sit all the way through. And I agree with you that they do build a cool world, but it is inconsistent and not that well executed. It's a 4, and I think I'm being generous to it, Jake.
I gave it a 6. I agree. Like, I don't find it that immersive when I'm sitting through it watching it now, but I like the world. And this is one of the few movies where I find it to be an interesting and messy, dumb world. But yeah, it's still endearing in that regard. So in a weird way, that props it up a little bit. It's what Mark was saying. I'm just saying it in a slightly different way.
There's a scene where there are cops with flamethrowers, and ultimately it's not anything that turns out to be anything.
Yeah. Like, it's a much... This is like a much
it's
worse
an irrelevant
version.
Scene.
Yeah. This just happens.
This is a much worse or weaker version of the type of world building that I like and would score highly for a movie like Running Man.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, this is not far removed.
That's a good
Running
way to
Man.
Put it. Yeah. This is going to
be like a 10 in its own regard.
For
in a
immersion.
Weird way.
And yeah.
In probably. A weird, if I'm going weird world building, then I'm
Running
going,
Man
I'm
has
running.
Some
I
world
love
building
Running Man. Running Man's so good.
That's a Stephen King book, isn't it?
Richard Bachman, Stephen King's pen name, alter ego, to prove he could write books, and it wasn't just his name cachet.
There you go.
Mark, what is your effect? Nope, scare factor score.
It's a 2. Nothing is particularly scary in this movie. There's some scenes where, like, what's her name is holed up in the apartment getting assaulted by the Chud, but they're not scary. They look good. That'll come up in the next category, but they're not scary.
I gave it a 3. I think the interesting thing of the multiple villains, the biggest one being the government who created the Chuds and the
Wilson!
Chuds
being kind
of victims of the Wilson, Tom Hanks style. But it's not scary. 3
you gave it
just
a 3,
for
though.
The conceptual stuff. Yeah, Jake.
Okay. I mean, I gave it a 2 as well. We're honestly all in the same plane here. Like, I liked how the practical on the actual humanoids.
Chuds.
The Chuds looked...
Literally no one ever says it like that. I don't know why you keep saying it like that.
Chud.
Well, we say it, and we literally say it like that all the time, Mark. So why are you saying literally no one... Oh, literally. Hey, is that a bingo thing? Did we do the bingo thing? Did that end up making it or not?
No, I don't even remember that being on the list.
Oh, it happened.
Definitely is on the card.
Fuck oh, yeah. Shit. Wrong on both counts.
Never listen to Jack.
That was literally a misinterpretation.
Literally?
No, fuck off.
Spent a substantial amount of time on that episode talking about Chris Traeger.
It was 2, it was 2, it was 2.
Effects or judicious lack thereof, Mark?
It's not judicious lack thereof. I gave it a 6.5, I am fine if you guys go higher. I kind of expect you to go higher. There's a lot of... I think I would couch the lack of world building in this movie in bad effects. It was a take so bad that it caused your mic to collapse.
Yeah,
but I guess what I'm saying is like they don't do anything from a set's perspective to like really create the world of the underground. There's like a few individual sets that they stumble backwards into that are just like a set of cardboard boxes. But really, the only thing here is the Chuds themselves look great, and everything else is kind of just a fart in the wind.
Yep. I gave it a 7. I'm extra crediting it for the Chuds. And I like the music, Mark, in certain parts,
mentioned
earlier. But overall, I think the sound is like not that great either. It's kind of just
sound editing's
for
great.
A lot. Yeah. So
it
I can't.
Is, I mean,
really, I'm giving them a lot of credit for the Chud, though. From a creature design and execution standpoint, they look fucking awesome, Jake.
It's like what I expect, though, from sound for a movie like this.
Yeah.
If it meets your expectations, I think you're going to be happier, right?
I gave it a 7.
Yeah, I mean, I'm giving it a 7.5. So I love the practical
look at
this film.
Whatever,
it's
man.
It's
very
like,
charming.
That,
it's very good.
That charming,
the glowing eyes.
Practical. I'm always going to go higher, and I'm always going to love movies that do it this way.
I'm curious how much extra space there was in the mask for the stunt people playing the Chuds with the to get those glowing eyes working.
Oh, they had to hold their breath the entire time. There was no room to breathe.
There was no room. Yeah.
All of the latex that would have filled up the area where like they could breathe, it was filled with glowing eyes.
Honestly,
from the Black Lagoon
style. I'm giving it a 9.
You're giving it a 9?
Instead, you gave it a 7.5.
No, I'm not. That's not the case. So I'm not giving it a fucking 9. Hell out
of
here.
It's going to take us into overall. Mark, what's your overall score as Jake fades out of existence, apparently? What? Your energy is getting like lower and lower.
Was it really? Yeah. I have no idea how to regulate my energy. Oh, fuck. That's bingo too.
It's obvious.
I have sugar problems in my blood.
That's a normal way to say that.
Yeah, that's the problem with your body is the blood.
Yeah.
I mean, dog. It's not helping.
I gave it a 4.5. Which I feel like is the exact right level for a B movie type classic from the 80s, right? That's where you want, that's the cult classic zone where you're like 3.5 to 5. You can't be too bad or you're literally unwatchable, and you can't be too good because you'd be notable otherwise. This is like, you gotta be right in that zone where you kind of suck, but you're lovable.
Mark, that was very well put. I gave it a 4, and I could not agree with you more completely. It does kind of suck, and it is kind of lovable. But goddamn, it's also boring for Jake.
It has its boring moments. Yeah. There, it's funny to go back and think that, look at all of the things that people thought were important in the 80s to include in scripts. And now by like modern viewing standards, just like, why the fuck do we have 20 minutes on this? we don't need to know the recipe for the soup that you're making the homeless people, dude. I don't think that was in this movie, but whatever. I couldn't come up with an example.
Like the one you made up, though. Jake, what's Jake. Your overall score?
Oh, he's been frozen for like 10 seconds. I was trying to vamp.
I dropped off when you were like, you got to be right in that zone where you suck.
Sure, yeah, you and Mark gave it a 4.5, and I gave it a 4, saying yes, and it does suck, but it is lovable.
And now we're throwing it to you.
That was your whole take?
Yeah.
Then we did a riff on soups. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, so now come back.
So you're ready for me, though?
Yeah, literally come back within your soup takes.
The last thing I said was Jake. What did you give it?
I gave it a 5. We're not that far apart. I guess a little more enamored by whatever charm you would ascribe to this movie, but it's below average. Like it's
I don't ever intend to watch this movie again.
That like you have to decide how much you appreciate is what this is.
Yeah.
Like I think we're all like, this isn't a good movie, but then like how endearing is it to you?
Yeah.
Exactly. Charming, like we exactly said. The
so,
point.
Yeah. So who would you recommend this to?
Horror movie enthusiasts. Like basically anyone in a mood for one of those movies that like you just sit back, kick your feet up, watch, have a good time, and realize you're watching a bad movie.
That's
some
the
dumb
move.
Bullshit, man.
Yep.
It's some dumb bullshit. Drink a beer, eat a slice of pizza, and calm the fuck down. Like that's what this movie is.
I agree with that.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. It's just a below average movie. I like this movie.
I did too.
I don't
want to watch it again, but
yeah,
I
are you ever
going to
watch it again, Jake?
Yeah.
I don't plan on it.
I sit down with a beer and a slice of pizza and calm the fuck down, I'm not going to not watch it.
I do. Both of you guys have close friends that apparently this is like what they determine as a horror movie.
Wait, we do?
Not. You intro'd this episode with this shit. That
you
both
said both of us.
Crispy did not like this movie.
I misunderstood what you were saying. Okay, my bad.
He had the one double feature was A Knight's Tale and whatever that horrible English movie we watched with the children. That one.
I thought you said at the top of this episode that you guys had a friend from Colorado who said like when he defines horror movies, this is what he uses.
I don't recall saying that.
Oh, okay. I did say that, and I'm fine to name drop with the first name now. We've had this conversation twice, and you didn't get it the last time either. I think it was Mark that didn't get it right, Jack.
I have no idea what's happening. I'm going to be
Logan.
Honest with you. Okay.
So
right,
not a Colorado friend.
No.
Got it. Well, there's an outside chance we all watch it with Logan at some point. You know, when we hang out with him all of those times in our future. When
so many fucking
lets
times.
Us know that he's in town. Whatever. Now this is...
he's
going
to be so pissed when he listens to this episode.
Hey, Logan.
Let's get the fuck out
We love
here.
You. Please let us know when you're in town next time.
Yeah. Dickhead. This has been episode 261 of the A-Z Horrorcast. If you're still here hanging out with us and you like what we got going on, all of the links that are pertinent to you are down there in the description that is immediately below whatever app you're using or internet browser you're using to watch this episode,
Microsoft Edge.
Jake, if I hadn't put the links in for the last 50 episodes, would you know?
No. Fuck no. I trust. I'm a truster, Jack.
I trusted the July Horror Release
Roundup to go up. Bing, 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 bing.
That was a mistake.
The Horror Release Roundup will be up. So will this episode because you're listening to it. So will our social media channels because those have always been up. Whatever. The music, as always, is coming at you from Super Bear.
Come join me.
Their
tweet
link is down there in the description below as well. And as Jack mentioned at the top of the episode, if you want to become a Patreon member, cool. There are great extra perks. Know that your money's going to somewhere good. Right now, that's Planned Parenthood until the foreseeable future. We'll let you know if that changes, but for right now, it is definitely not going to. That said, next week, we're going to move on to our second selection of the new crop of horror movies. It is a Jack pick. It is Clown. That's an Eli Roth production, and I'm excited to see it. I haven't seen it, so...
Body horror, baby!
Body horror, baby!
Like straightforward body horror, not reverse body horror.
Not reverse body horror.
Coming at you roughly 1 week from today. Until then... have a great week, and get your buddies, grab some beers, and watch some horror movies. That was in backwards order, and I don't even give a shit. Bye. The concept of going upwards is intriguing to me.